Good morning. Benson Grove. Jubilee. How many of you are looking forward to Jubilee?
Amen.
I'm looking forward to Jubilee, but I'm looking more forward to the homecoming.
Yes, sir. Amen.
been having trouble this morning trying to figure out that I want to do part A first or part B first. And I've still not really figured it out. But we'll see how it goes when we get started. Yeah. Well, that's the way we're supposed to do it in the Moxie, right? But it is good to see you. Appreciate you being with us this morning. Really looking forward to Jubilee. Thanks to those who are listening in by the way of internet or ever how it may be. Bow with me in just a word of prayer, and then we'll begin to look at our lesson together. Lord, again today, we thank you that you loved us when we were unlovable. And Lord, we thank you that as brothers and sisters in Christ, that we can gather together and see your love at work, and how good and gracious you are to us. And how wonderful it is to know you as our Lord and Savior. But Lord, we also know that we within ourselves can do nothing to bring any glory and honor to you. So as we open your precious word today, we ask that the Holy Spirit might lead us and guide and direct us, that those things that we say today might be truth from God's word. Help us not to say anything amiss, that it might be gospel as we speak. Thank you again for saving us, for all the blessings of life, for being our God, and extending your love to us through Jesus Christ, your Son, and our Savior. Bless this time together, and bless our Jubilee, and we'll praise you and glory and honor you for who you are and what you do. In the name of Christ, we do pray. Amen. We have been studying lost and being found for the last three or four Sundays. I don't know how long. And I was looking at the promises of God. And you know, God's word is full of promises. I was looking at one particular one, it's in everlasting life. And I was going to start with that, but let me ask you a question. How do you know that God will do what he promised or what he promises? Now, you think about that for just a moment. Do what? Because he said it, okay? But a whole lot of people say a lot of things they don't do, brother.
He's shown himself to be faithful.
So let's look at something this morning. See, we've got a lot of things that we think about. So I'm going to do part number two before I do part number one. And I want us to think about what we're looking at very serious. Because we can look at these scriptures and see God's plan from the beginning and see what he has done. And that has done is what he said he would do. And then we can rest assured of what he has said he will do. He will do, right? So let's go back for just a moment. And I was going to start out with, you know, he's promised us eternal life. Well, how do you know that he will keep that promise of eternal life? And I got to looking, and you've heard me say this before many times, something I hadn't never seen before. So The important thing is that God is your God where you are saved or lost. The difference is, do you know him as God? Because he's going to be your God of judgment or your God of grace and mercy, depending on your relationship with him. But I want you to go all the way with me, all the way back to Genesis 1:1. Somebody quote Genesis 1:1 for me. Come on now, say it loud enough so I can hear it. I'm old and can't hear real well. All right, in the beginning. Now that's the beginning. God's eternal. With God, there is no beginning. But now what I want you to think about this morning is that the first thing we see here is in the beginning. So in those two words, God has a plan. And he shows us a plan. In the beginning, God created. And what's the next phrase? Now, sometimes we say the heavens, but what does that say? It says the heaven and the earth. Now, what did he create first in regard to us? Heaven comes before earth does, don't it? Well, where do you and I want to spend eternity, and where are we going to spend eternity if we know Christ in saving grace? We're going to do it in heaven. So the first thing he did, he provides us with heaven. Now what we see in God's word is he has created a heaven. Now he's going to create an earth. And what's he going to create an earth for? God's eternal. Does God need a heaven? Does God need an earth? Does God need anything? God don't need anything. He's got everything he needs. But he put us in his plan. And to put us in his plan, we've got to have a heaven. We've got to have an earth. And we've also got to have a hell. Now, he don't mention hell in this one. But in the next one, you'll see something. Next verse, you're going to see something. Now, he said, in the beginning, he's created the heavens and the earth. Now, at this point, where's man? Man's not been created, has he? So man's in the future right on. Now, if we look at verse number 2, and he said, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the earth. Now, let's get a little bit deeper into something as we look at this. In scriptures, we refer to two things many times. We refer to light and darkness. When we refer to light in the scriptures, who are we talking about most of the time? It says Jesus Christ is the what? The light of the world. Now, when we talk about darkness, who and what are we talking about? We're talking about Satan, the prince and the power of the air. We're talking about sin. Now, is it not amazing that when we look at God's word, that we don't have to get but just to the second verse, after he's talked about heaven, and after he's talked about creating heavens and the earth, the heaven and the earth, and then the next verse, he talks about an earth that's what? He said it's an earth that's form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. How is that? And here we have some things that some agree on and some don't. But we look at if we look in the book of Isaiah, well, look, it says, God formed. Remember, formed. Form is you take something that already exists and you make it into something else. He said he formed the earth for a reason. It also in that verse says he created it. And he created it not in vain. Okay, that's the creation part. That's what we see in verse number one. Then he says he formed it to be inhabited by man. Okay? Now, when we look at verse number two, we see darkness. In verse number two, we see something with no form. In verse number two, we see something that's void. God's a perfect God. That does not sound like God, does it? So between verse number one and verse number two, I believe with all my heart something took place. And I think God created Lucifer, the morning star angel. I think when he created the earth, he put Lucifer in charge of it, just like he put Adam in charge of the Garden of Eden when he told him to dress it and keep it. And then we look at Isaiah the 12th chapter, and Lucifer said, I will exalt my throne above the Most High God. You know, I'll be like him, I'll be greater than him. And God said, let me show you who you're talking about. And I think that's the reason you see verse number two. But nevertheless, let's go on. He says he formed it to be inhabited by man. What planet do you live on this morning? The earth, right? He said that's what it was. So that's what we live on. I don't care what evolution said, and I don't care what the atheist said, and I don't care what anybody says. God says it's going to be called earth. It's called earth, and I'm living on the earth. That's where we live for now. But I'm looking forward to that time when I'm going to be in the first thing he created, which he created for man, which is heaven. And I'm looking forward to that day more and more every day. So let's look at just a thing or two. Now, when he gets ready to form it back, and if we'll look at these next verses, now what is he doing? He's doing what he said he would do in Isaiah. He says, I will form it to be inhabited by man. Now, what's the first thing that we see come into view in the forming it back? What's the first thing he says we need on this earth? He says, in the spirit, and there's the thing that does the work of God. If you were saved this morning, you're saved because of the work of the precious Holy Spirit. Because it shows you one day, and it showed me one day, that I was lost and doomed for an eternal hell and drew me to God. And that's the only reason I know him in saving grace, because of the work of the Holy Spirit that brought light. Well, what's the Holy Spirit here? What is it bringing? It says it moved upon the face of the waters. Now, the whole earth was in darkness and surrounded by water. It said it moved on the face of the waters. And verse number three, and the Lord said, let there be light. And what? And there was light. When you get up in the morning, what do you see? You see light. When the sun goes down, what do you see? You see darkness, right? Now we see two things that affect the physical condition of this earth. Light and darkness. But we also in this see something else. We know that darkness is the sign of sin, and we know that light shows forth who? Christ. All right? Look at what God's done. In verse number 3, he says, let there be light. God didn't do away with darkness. Now think about this. He did not do away with darkness, but he divided the light and the darkness. And the light he called day, and the darkness he called night. In John chapter number 8 and verse number 12, he says, I am the light of the world. And just like the sun is the light of this world that we, this earth that we live on, God's Son is the light, the true light of the whole world. But there's also somebody else in the picture when we look at this. And I need to read a few verses, I guess, as I'm going and not just. So let's go to John 8 and look at this 8th chapter of the book of John. Let's look at it for just a moment. Now, 8:12, he says, then spake Jesus. Now, who's doing the talking? Okay. He said, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in what? In darkness, but shall have the light of life. So now in reference to the spiritual world, we now have light and we have darkness. Just like in the physical world, we have light and we have darkness. We have the sun to rule the day, and the darkness does what? What's it ruled by? The darkness, Satan is the ruler of darkness. Now look over in Ephesians, the 2nd chapter. Now, here I am trying to teach this morning. You got all these preachers sitting in here listening to me. Y'all need to be in that category sometime. In Ephesians chapter number 2, and look at verse number 2. It says, where in times past, and of course, that's before we were saved, but I want you to look at the latter part of this verse. Where in time past you walked according to the course of this world. According to what? The prince of the power of the air. The spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Now, if we look over in Ephesians 6, chapter the 12th verse, he says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So we still have, just like in this earth that we live on, we have the sunlight and we have darkness. In the spiritual world, we have God and Christ and the Holy Spirit, the Trinity. And then in the evil world of darkness, we have Satan and his demons and all those powers of darkness. But now when we look back in the book of Genesis, at the time that we are in this lesson this morning, man is not in the picture. But what are we seeing? We are seeing how it is going to be when man is in the picture, and what Christ is doing as we look at our lesson this morning is that he is making those provisions for man to live under conditions that he's going to be living in when he creates man and puts him on this earth. And he's getting everything in order. And when we look at what we see in the book of Genesis, and we see how God in the beginning had a plan, and then we look at these verses and how we see him set that plan in order, that when he creates man, that man has a place to dwell, that he can be taken care of according to God's plan. Even though there is going to be one here still called Satan, with all his demons and all the power that he has, and he's strong, and we know he is, but he's not stronger than God. But God's got a plan. Now let's go back to Genesis and go a little bit deeper in this plan. Now in verse number 3, it said, "Let there be light." Of course, there was a light. And God saw the light, that it was what? It was good. And God did what? He divided the light from darkness. And he called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And then he says the evening and the morning. And look at the next phrase. What's the next phrase in that verse said? It was what day? The first day. Well, wait a minute. If you think God don't know what's going on, I've just told you several times this morning that God's what? He's eternal. What does time mean to God? But what do we see right now that's come into effect? He's already set the stage for time. He said, this is the first day. So now we begin to see time come into the picture from an eternal God. And then we go on down as we look at these scriptures together. I want you to look at verse number 14. And God said, "Let there be lights in the firmament of heaven to do what? To divide." What's it going to divide? It's going to divide light and darkness on the spiritual realm, as we look at it. Who separates you from darkness? Who divides you from darkness? That greater light's going to do the divide. You know, we can see God's total plan for mankind in this as we look at it. At least I can. You might not can. He said he's going to put those lights, and he said he's going to divide the day from the night. And let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and for years. What's the thing that governs your life more than anything else in this whole world. Now, some of you know it because I've asked you this question before. But what is it? You can't get away from it. You live by it. Tick, tock, tick, tock, tick, tock, tick, tock. It tells you when to get up. It tells you when to go to bed. It tells you when to go to work. It tells you when to go to the doctor. Get it over the amp. You don't even have to worry about it. Just go every day. But time, you think about it. Time governs everything that you do. You cannot get away from it. And here he says, time's going to be in the picture now. But he says, all this is going to be in the picture, but man's not being created yet. But he's got a plan. And what are we seeing? When God says, I've got a plan, he's going to do what? He's going to fulfill that plan. Every single little bitty, teeny, itty bit of that plan is going to be just like he has so designed it to be. Let's go on. And he said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth, and it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater, the what? The greater to do what? The rule the what? The day. The light. And then he says, and the lesser to rule the what? The rule the night. He made the stars also. Well, in the spiritual realm, the greater is what? Is who? The greater is God, and who's the ruler? Who's the authority? The greater is certainly the authority over the lesser. And God is the ruler over all creation, both light and both darkness. He's the greater of the two. And it said, and God set them in the firmament of heaven to give light upon the earth and to rule over the day and over the night. I want you to look at that verse. God set them in the firmament of heaven to give light upon the earth. We said that Christ is what? The light of the world, right? Okay, now watch this. And he said, he set them there to rule over the day. And we've looked at all these verses, and it says that the greater is going to rule the day and the lesser is going to rule the night. But what does it say in this verse? He said to rule over the day and over the night. The greater light. His son. Greater than Satan. Is the rule. Both in light and in darkness. He's the eternal rule. And God saw that it was good. And he said, we in day four. Now, here's where it gets interesting. I ought to read my notes rather than just try to remember them. Let's go to Genesis chapter 3, and let's begin to look now at what God's going to do with this plan that he's put together and why he's done it like he's done it. Now, we're going to jump forward a little bit because we're going to talk about man. But then we're going to back up again in just a moment. But I want you to look at Genesis 3rd chapter and 17th verse. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat, cursed is the ground, for thy sake and sorrow shalt thou eat it all the days of thy life. I want you to notice the last phrase in that particular verse. When God created Adam and Eve, how long were they to live? They had, when he created them, they had what life? They had eternal life. But here in this, what does it say? What's the last phrase in this particular verse? All the days of thy life. Just like we saw a while ago, God said first day, second day, third day, fourth day. He set the calendar in action. Why? Because he knows that this is going to happen also. And he knows that perfect man and woman where he's going to create it. He knows that they're going to sin. And he knows that that's going to bring physical death to Adam and Eve. So he knows that he's got a certain timetable of life. And we see that timetable of life here. But now let's back up a little bit and let's look at that man and that woman that he's going to create. So we got to back up and go to chapter number 2 and verse number 7. And I got to hurry. Chapter number 2 and verse number 7. And God formed man from the dust of the ground. And remember that we've talked about this. He formed him. If you don't know what life is, ask your doctor. He can't tell you, but you tell him. He said he formed man from the dust of the ground. He breathed in the nostrils the breath of life, and he became a living soul. And there's life. That's the answer to life. It's the breath of God that's breathed into us. So he's made man. He has planted a garden eastward in Eden, and he's put the man who he formed in the Garden of Eden. And now, if we look at, of course, we know he put the tree of knowledge and good and evil, all those things, we know that. But I want you to look at verse number 18. I want to read the rest of this chapter. The Lord God said, it is good and it's not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet for him. Now, I want you to notice that now he's all of a sudden, he said, man needs a helpmeet. He needs somebody with him. But now it changes the whole story. It don't change the story. He just goes to another page. He goes back to that he's created again. He said, out of the ground, the Lord God formed the beast of the field and the fowl of the air and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called him, called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all the cattle, to the fowl of the air, and to every beast of the field. Next word's what? But. What have I told you when you see but? Pay attention. You're fixing to hear something. But what? But for Adam, there was not found a helpmeet for him. Out of all these things that God's created and formed, ain't none of them for you, Adam. You got to have a helpmeet. And fellas, I don't know where you realize it or not, that woman sitting beside of you, you might think you can do without her, but you can't. I can really relate to that. Because I've lost one for 60, that's been with me for 64 years. A year ago. Said, Adam, you need somebody to help you. So now let's look at what God did. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam. And he slept, and he took one of his ribs, and he closed up the flesh instead thereof. Now, who did the first surgery in creation? God did. There it is. Now, if you got to have major surgery, what do you want them to do? You want to go in there and lie down on the table and say, fella, just have at it. Or you're going to say, whoa, 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 whoa. I want you to put my lights out. There's the plan for surgery. God did the first one. And he said, you got to put a man and a woman to sleep if you're going to do surgery. And guess what? That's one thing we followed his plan on. We might have missed a bunch of other things, but we followed his plan on that one. He said it. We've done it. As far as I'm concerned, that's one of them things that proves he's God. But that's not all. Let's look a little bit farther. He said he took that rib out of that woman. And he did what? Notice he made a woman. But we back up a little bit and said he created both male and female. So he had to breathe the breath of life into Eve just like he did Adam. Now let's look at this next verse, these verses. Adam said, this is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. And she shall be called woman because she was taken out of a man. I want you to pay close attention to these next two verses. I want you to think about this. God has now created a man and a woman. They are the only two people on the face of this earth, and they were created by God. But I want you to look at what God says in these next two verses. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave to his wife, and they shall be one flesh. You see anything unusual in this verse? Adam and Eve ain't got no mother and daddy. Something's got to happen in the future for this to happen. They ain't got no mother and daddy. And he says, a man is going to leave his father and mother. And he's going to cleave to his wife. By the way, let me give you a definition, man, of biblical cleave. To stick, to cling, to hold to something with deep devotion and loyalty. As they say, you go put that in your pipe and smoke it. That's how dedicated you're supposed to be to her. But let's go to where we are. He says, you will cleave. Leave your father and mother and cleave unto his wife, and they shall be. Not might be, probably, they shall be what? One flesh. One flesh. And if a husband and wife live in that perspective of one flesh, they will live in harmony because God said it and it works. Now I'm going to add one more thing to this. I'm going to read this 25th verse. And they were both naked, and the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. And I wondered about that verse for a long time. And it's as plain and simple as it can be. It says, they become one flesh. And the only place that nakedness between a man and a woman is with a husband and a wife. And that's the only place that God honors it. And any other time, in any other circumstance, it's displeasing to God Almighty. And let me add one more thing to it. Half dress comes under that same, as far as I'm concerned, comes under that same verse. The only place, he says, you're one flesh, said between husband and wife, nakedness is fine. But that's the only place that it's fine. And I'm finished for the morning. God bless you. Thank you for being with us in our Sunday school hour.